have been standing here listening to your conversation. And I realize only too well the many difficulties which you have to contend with in endeavoring to make people realize these truths and to help them to accept until man has completely unshackled and unchained himself from creeds and dogma. I do not see how he can perceive clearly the vision that we have to offer. It is the vision of the spirit. It is reality. Men in the world cannot understand certain spiritual truths admittedly with a material mind. There are some things which cannot be beheld, but nevertheless we know there is so much that they can and surely eventually must realize. The link of our world is one which must be strengthened, which will be strengthened in the years that come. For science, as we've already told you, will, I am quite sure, make possible that link with our world in such a way that it will uproot many of these creeds and dogmas. It will make man more free, more able to perceive and to know scientifically of the things that are. When our world is recognized, when it is to some extent understood, when men are able to tune in as they do today with your wireless sets and television, so they will then have to realize and accept that which has been true since time began. We have no doubts in our mind that one day a combination of scientists in your world and those in ours will forge the link between the two worlds scientifically, so that man will then know truth and realize that he is indeed one with the so-called dead. The death is not a dividing barrier. The death indeed is a door that opens that man might walk through and be one with those who have gone before. We have no qualms or doubts or fears, for we are freed of many of the old ideas and superstitions. Man clings to many things which in themselves are erroneous, in themselves are untrue. Things that can be traced back to the old mythological beliefs when man was young and inexperienced and often misled by fable, not being able to differentiate between truth and untruth. Man today is still held by the chains that were forged over the centuries by man himself in his ignorance. But we shall break those chains, and man will then be free and will know the things that are. Do not be discouraged. We know it too well. There are times when you must be discouraged. You feel that you are, as it were, banging your head up against an orthodox wall. But where you are endeavoring to work, where you are endeavoring to serve, sometimes the seed is sown. Do not always feel it is a wasted effort.
Thank you.
There are various reasons why men in your world cling to outworn creeds and dogmas. Often it suits their purpose. Often it is their bread and butter, their livelihood. Often it gives them position or so-called prestige, which means so much to them, which they cling to, like drowning sailors clutching to a raft. You must not be perturbed. These men invariably, fundamentally, are more materialistic than some of the people that they try to persuade or to lead. They would not admit it, of course, would not think they would admit it. Nevertheless, fundamentally, when truth is revealed, they are revealed as cowards and betrayers of truth, spiritual truth. They cling to that which gives to them, often, position, so-called, in life and in living. are not concerned. We care not for bishops. We care not for creeds and dogmas. We are concerned only with humanity and with truth. And truth, in the end, will prevail. The history and the record of the Church, I have no need to remind you what that has given to the world. I do not say there have not been and are not good Christians, but they are not good followers. They are not good teachers. Of course there are. Nevertheless, there is much in the teachings of the Church and in the followers of the Church which are in no way concerned with a simple yet great and wonderful person called Jesus. Jesus, who had no consideration for himself, had no position in life, had no church, no society, nowhere to lay his head. Jesus, who was the great yet humble soul, who came into the world to show men the path of righteousness and truth. He turned, as you know, the money changers from under the temple. I wonder what he would do now if he were to return to some of your churches and temples, what his reaction would be to the world that is owned by the so-called Christian bodies, with their pomp and their ceremony, with their vestments, and all the paraphernalia of Orthodox religion. He did not come to find such a fallacy, such a farcical thing. Man has created that, not him. We follow the simple, yet great and glorious teacher, Jesus, in spirit and in truth. Where there is humbleness of spirit, where there is simplicity and trust in faith and the realization of the power and the love of God, there is hope for humanity. But where there is pomp and ceremony and circumstance, where there is all this outward show and little within, there you will not find a simple Jesus. We are not concerned with creeds and dogmas. We come, if we can, to help break them down, that people might be free to think for themselves and to become one with the divine source of enlightenment and goodness. I know the things that we say sometimes must cause consternation among certain peoples, but truth must prevail, and truth is the only thing that matters to us. Even though at times we must hurt those whom we love. For we love all peoples, whatever they may be, whatever their circumstances, whatever their so-called religion or belief, for we are all brothers, sisters, in humanity and in love. Even what one thought yesterday sometimes must be changed by experience. When I was in your world, I was a fortunate recipient of messages from great souls. Many of those souls, of course, I have met here and are my companions in life here. We are one in spirit. And I know there is much more that we have to do to help humanity. Yet, Father, we look back and we see that which has been accomplished. But we look forward with great happiness and joy in our hearts to that which must come, when the realization comes to all the world of flesh, of the oneness of the divine, of the power that he sheds upon his children, when we shall be able in some measure to make men see in the eyes of the spirit and hear in the ears of the spirit, indeed when all men shall be spiritually inclined, your world as you only do when thou livest in fear. Always you are with fear, fear of so many things. Fear must be eradicated from man's mind and heart. There must come peace and tranquility, and it can only come by the revelation of the Spirit. When all men realize their brothers, when they cast aside and from them all the things that bind them to the things that are material, and they are more inclined to the things of the Spirit, when they lift one for the other, for the things that are good, we must break down the barriers that separate men. What are those barriers? Mostly they are the religious barriers, for there is no stronger barrier, more difficult barrier to break than religious intolerance. And you have known it too well, even in the Christian faith, as the hundreds of different sects and creeds, though they openly do not perhaps profess to hate, yet underneath that camouflage there is much that is not good. We must break down these barriers. There must be one religion in the world for it to make progress. And that religion must be based on truth. It is only truth that can set men free. The more we see into your world, the more conscious we become of what crimes are committed under the name of religion. We are very, very, very anxious that men should see and realize that many of the faults, many of the difficulties that have been set up in your life are caused by intolerance. Intolerance among men and women throughout the world, among nations. We must, and it is everyone's duty, to try to break down these barriers. And most important of all, as I see it, are the religious barriers. For when men are made free to think and to realize the truths of life eternal, when they realize that within themselves is salvation, that they are the ones that can save themselves and the world, it cannot be done by anyone else but by the individual himself, by thinking right, by acting right, and eventually becoming right. No one can save you but yourselves. It is true that others can point the way. Souls from this side can show you the path. Great messiahs have been sent into your world at different periods of time, all of the mission, and each and every instance they have been sincere and simple men, with no thought of material aggrandizement and position or power. They do not want palaces, they do not want the goods and the values of the earth. They only want the value of the human heart and soul. We see in your world the hypocrisy that reigns, and we come that we might in some measure break it down. For we have no fear in our makeup, for we come with love in our hearts. And to do this work, we have to be strong, strong within ourselves, knowing that might will overcome material might. You may feel insecure at times. You may feel insignificant at times, but nevertheless, within you is a power greater than that held by any bishop, any person who sets himself up in your world as one who is the leader of men, whether it be material or spiritual. For we are not concerned with power, and neither are you. There is only one power that we acknowledge and understand. It is the power of love. And where love is, all things are possible. Do not be discouraged by those around you in so-called positions of authority. They, in themselves, are weak, weaker than you know. We should they hear my words deep down in their hearts, if they are true to themselves, they will know it and will not like me or you for having said it. For we care not or power or position, but they invariably live for it. Take away their business, take away their judge, take away their power and position, and believe me, you'll have such a human cry as you've never heard before, for they live more for the material affairs and conditions of life than anything else. And so it will be, the time will come, when the judges will be again in dust. But thank God, by that time man will be free. God's kingdom is the world. In nature, in all its glory and its beauty, there it is that man can worship. God does not want lessons, ornaments, stained glass windows. God does not ask man to provide these things. He is more concerned that man should provide for this fortunate brother, that he might give to those who have little. For to give to those less fortunate than yourselves, to help those who are lame and sick, is more important than altars and all the paraphernalia of power. They do not represent God or his power. They represent man's position and power in the world. All the chanting and all the singing and all the prayers in themselves, repeated automatically, day in and day out, fall on deaf ears. It is from the heart and the love of man within. It is from this that goodness grows, and power of the spiritual kind is made possible. The world will change when men cease to strive to fight for the things of the earth, but rather to build up in the realms of spirit those things that cannot die, those things that cannot be taken away, those things that are eternal because they are of God. We see in the world changes. We see so many changes. And we look forward to a time when man will see and know and understand these things that we speak of. It shall and must come. In the meantime, you yourselves, striving as you do, be patient, do not be discouraged. Realize that these things that we speak of shall come to pass. Man will see and know, be conscious of these things to a great degree throughout your world, and the barriers will be broken down. And the false idols and gods that have been set up shall be cast aside. And man will worship to the real and lasting God of all his children. But there are a few brave souls in your world who already are experimenting, are endeavoring to make possible a mechanical method of contact with our world. Some of these people already are beginning to achieve some result. Nothing at the moment that perhaps could be considered satisfactory, but nevertheless they are being guided and helped by scientists on this side, experimenting as they are to this one end. And I do foresee with a certainty within myself, the time will come when science will perfect an instrument by being able to tune in on high wave to our world And it is even possible that by some form of which I know little or nothing, it will be possible to see or to perceive souls in this world. This will be so in itself evidential to humanity that it will, as I see it, change completely the outlook of mankind. It will rob the world of the fear of death. It will discourage many of those who trade in your world upon the ignorance of the peoples. It will cast down false idols, and it will open up greater avenues of truth. You have today the radio, you have your television. Things which 50 years ago would have been considered impossible, would have been considered miraculous, which today you accept as normal. So there is no reason why it is not possible that we, in a similar manner, shall be able to communicate with you, dispensing as we have to do with instruments such as we use today. We are grateful, of course, to those instruments who have served faithfully and well the spirit world. But science has advanced to such a degree, it is beginning to tap unknown sources beyond your comprehension. You talk, as it were, today of going to the moon or to the satellite, to the stars, maybe, who knows what tomorrow holds. And man talks about taking flight into the atmosphere to contact new worlds. Our world is not so far removed from you. There's a sun, there's a stars. For our world is all around you. We are merely on a different vibration, in a different condition. So why not that you should be able to communicate with us through a scientific, so-called scientific way? And we know that it is possible, and our scientists, people here, brilliant men, are struggling, working with a few in your world, likewise in Christendom. And I know it must come. When, indeed, will man find truth and begin to realize the import of his being in your world, the purpose of it? You realize then the tremendous power that is invested within himself. Man has tremendous power within himself to do so much. Man is only just beginning to realize what he can achieve. It is all progress. Man is in a sense threefold. He is material, he is spiritual, and he is psychic. I use the word psychic because it's the only word I can conceive or think of to convey that extra something which man is so very ignorant about. Man is not just flesh and blood, neither is he just spirit. There is a psychic force that is emanating, that has emanated throughout the world for generations of time, presumably ever since life began. So many things that are puzzling, things that are strange, yet nevertheless they are all what you call of a psychic nature. For in all life there is this psychic force. Whatever form of life it may be, there is this psychic force, not only in man, but in the animal kingdom, in nature itself, in trees, in flowers. Those great strengths of a psychic kind, which, when it is understood, will change completely man's ideas. You are finding out more and more these sciences of what life is. Science, properly applied and understood and used in the right direction, can bring great happiness to mankind, great revelation of the spirit. Whereas religion depends on outworn creeds and dogmas and mythological and all sorts of things which had no relation to truth. Science is able to prove and is proving more and more what man is and what his needs are and will be, more so in the future, with the divine. We talk a little bit of things like the divine. We cannot understand in certain respects. All it implies. He cannot understand God. What is God? No man can understand or define God, but nevertheless, that tremendous force or power of which we are all part is ever with you, is within you, and is around and about you, outside your world and inside. It is all there. It is life germinating. And from that force, tremendous things are possible. There's so much we have to tell you. So much others want to say to you apart from me. In time, if we shall have opportunity, we must be patient and realize that we are privileged, we are blessed to have these opportunities of conversing. But do not be discouraged. These are my last words today. Do not be discouraged, because I know it is easy, even with the truth that you have, the knowledge that you have, to sometimes be discouraged by people around you who, in many respects, are very fine people, but who are obstinately blind to the realities, the things that are and must be. They are so wrapped up in themselves, it is difficult for them. They should be pitied. At the same time, you must continue to strive to enlighten those who will listen, to help those who are in such need of this truth, especially those who are more ready to receive because sadness is in their hearts, or when they lose one whose life is so much to them. Those who mourn, they are the ones who are beginning, as it were, to perceive. They are the ones who are more ready to receive. Be patient and strive to do what you can. Do not be discouraged, for we are with you.